It's the Stay Connected Podcast right here on 93.5. My name is Jared Eastman, and we have a serious talk to have today because the entire LCS summer split may end up being canceled over a player walkout. We're also going to talk about TFT Set 9, which I am super excited about. I think it's going to be the best one yet, but we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Let's get right into the madness right here on 93.5. We are the Stay Connected Podcast. Starting off with this. I can't believe it as I'm reading it, but the Player Association, the LCSP, which stands for the League Champion Series Players Association, has voted overwhelmingly to walk out this past week. So what that means is games were canceled. Riot has pushed them back about 2 weeks. I think the first game is now going to be on June 14th, where there were supposed to be games this past week. That's kind of crazy. You know, games don't get canceled in pro play like this unless it's something serious. So the fact that Riot kind of had their hand forced of, all right, we're going to push back 2 weeks, means that this is something that could turn into a big issue for the LCS, especially considering that Riot has, you know, made it abundantly clear that they will cancel the entire summer split if need be. What that means for the LCS players is that they will not be able to participate in Worlds, which is one of, if not the biggest, professional video game tournaments in the world. That is insane. I don't believe that has ever happened in the history of, you know, the League series. You know, you've had regions in years prior not be able to participate because of, you know, the pandemic health issues or safety concerns, things like that. But that's an outside issue. This is in-house from Riot saying, all right, we'll just cancel it and you won't be allowed to play. That's insanity. But why is this happening? What is the root of the cause for the players who love the game to be, you know, so passionate about saying we're not playing? Well, this has to all do with the second tier of League Esports, which is the NACL, which is the North American Challengers League. You know, that's where you find most of your up-and-coming teams, most of your up-and-coming players. I think a lot of the academy teams were in the NACL. Now, what happened was, earlier in May, Riot announced that it was removing a mandate that required LCS teams to fund the NACL team in addition to its LCS roster. Putting that in simple terms, let's say Evil Geniuses, they had to pay for their bracket in the mainline esports league, and then if they had an Evil Geniuses Academy team, they had to pay for that as well. Now, Riot is removing that mandate to where, you know, these Challenger League teams and players won't be covered exactly by the mainline teams, or at least they're not required to cover them. A lot of players are unhappy with this. You know, they're trying to stand up for these players in the NACL to try and foster talent, to try and, you know, have this, I guess, area where you can grow and develop that isn't in the mainline esports world. I mean, this is kind of insane that Riot is even doing this. You know, this has been a mandate since 2018, since they ever moved to this big franchise of the esports world. I mean, it's kind of making me angry just thinking about it, because we've seen player associations unionize. This is the first time this is the first time in the esports world that I think so many players have come together and actually staged a walkout. You know, it wasn't too long ago that in actual sports, and I believe it was the MLB, that the MLB Player Association was also walking out saying, hey, we have some concerns and issues that we need addressed, and here's what we need to talk about. Doesn't seem like Riot is willing to really talk at all, not even hear about it. It was an unprecedented decision to completely destroy the North American Challengers League, as said by, you know, many who are in the player association of the LCS. And people have mixed opinions on this, you know. One person in particular, I think he has a good point, and it just proves how much in trouble the LCS kind of is. You know, Tyler One, he is a very well-known streamer, plays a lot of League of Legends. He's talented. He's not in the esports world, I believe. I don't know too much about him. I don't follow him. I'm not a huge fan. But he's got a good point when he says that there is no talent pool in NA. You know, which is, I guess, part of the reason why Riot is even doing this. Because while most people are fighting back, saying that the NACL is this, you know, necessary tool, Tyler One says that there's no talent in the district, in the region, for players to be able to grow up in, for players to be able to just, you know, come up and make it to that big shot world. It's all saturated by, guess what, different regional talent being brought in favor of NA players. And we see that all the time. You know, it's true. He's got a point. I don't like that he's, you know, saying, oh, the NA Challengers League and there's no NA talent pool. I don't like that he's saying those things, but he's got a point when you look at the stats. I mean, this season alone, we saw it. Gory was a player from another region. He got brought over, and he was by far, in my opinion, one of the best mid laners in the LCS that season. And that's just one player. There's a bunch of other players who have been brought over from EU, the LCK, the LCC, or wherever. It doesn't matter. The point being is that we need to find a way to foster NA talent to the same level of the LEC and the LCK and the LCS. Like, the LCS needs to be on the same level for the other major regions. And they're not right now. You know, I've talked about this in previous episodes, which you can listen to on our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com. But the matter of fact is, NA, I feel like, will never be as good as EU or the LCK. It's hard to hear, and it's a hard pill to swallow. But the way we're playing right now, it doesn't look like it's getting better. You know, we could be as confident as we want, saying, oh, this will be a good year for NA, and it might be. You know, I do think that the challenge and talent in the NA region has been increasing. But how much of that is players being brought over or compared to players that are starting in the LCS and working their way up to that industry? You know, obviously, there are players that I love who are straight from the LCS. You know, Danny was one of them. Danny was a fantastic AD carry. I think he could have really went far if he stuck with it. I hope in, you know, years time, he will return to the LCS. But he was by far one of the best talents. It just didn't work out that way. You know, he took care of himself, and I'll never bash him for that. He took care of himself. He's doing better because of it. So, you know, some people are saying that Tyler 1 is out of his mind and that he has no idea what he's talking about. But I think he's addressing, you know, an issue from the opposite end of the aisle. And that's what these, you know, two people have to do. They have to really do with Riot, though, not with Tyler 1, of, all right, what are your concerns? Here's our concerns. Where can we meet in the middle? But will Riot do that? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think they genuinely don't care, especially because Riot tried its hardest to get these games that were canceled to be played. You know, they reached out to the community and saying, hey, listen, these players aren't playing. We need these spots filled. We'll pay you to come over and play these games. Riot was actually trying to get players that were not a part of these teams or a part of really any team maybe to play in the LCS just to keep these games going. You know, I don't think anybody took them up on it because it would absolutely kill their career. You know, I saw people talking about this online and it's absolutely right. You know, if you're willing to, I use this word lightly, but if you're willing to sell out to Riot, you're basically killing your career right there. Because no other player, besides the others who sold out, are going to want to play with you. They won't respect you. They're going to be like, listen, we were standing up for our fellow players, and you weren't in line with us. You were, you know, going over and saying, I'll take my paycheck, thank you. You don't get respect that way, especially from the people that you're supposed to be putting your trust in. Because that's what building a team is in the LCS. You guys are training sometimes 24/7 together. And the fact that you'd be so willing, I'm not saying anyone in mind because I don't think anyone did it because it would be crazy to do it. I'm just throwing out a hypothetical here of if you're willing so much to just stab your team in the back like that, why would we ever play with you? That's the bottom line of it. I mean, this is insane, though. The fact that now they've moved on from that to, all right, we'll just cancel the entire summer split, which never has happened in the history of esports. League esports, at least. It might have happened in other tournaments and other games and stuff like that. I'm curious to see where Riot will go with this in the coming weeks. You know, we're at the beginning of June, so they have another whole week to hash it out with the LCS Player Association over the NA Challengers League. What that means for the league, we'll see. What that means for the Challenger League, I mean, again, going back to, you know, the opposite end of the aisle, because I want to be fair. Do people watch the Challengers League as much as the LCS? No. Absolutely not. People don't care about the NACL. So that shows that we have to give them a reason to care. We need to foster new NA talent that is just as good as the LEC and the LCK and, you know, the rest of the world. If we don't do that, then what's the point? Because they're thinking of it from a very cost-effective manner. They're thinking of it for the team organizers who are paying the money for these teams to play. If those organizers don't think they're getting the bang for their buck, of course they're going to want to save money. Of course they're going to want to cut costs. I mean, look at what Evil Geniuses just did. They cut their entire LCS roster, save for JoJo Pune, because they wanted to. Because they felt that the team wasn't doing what they needed and they weren't getting their money's worth for it. So they cut the team. For whatever other reason they want to throw out there, at the end of the day, you know, that's what you could kind of put at the bottom line of. They weren't performing as well as the team wanted, so the team cut them. You might not like it, but that's the way it works. It's exactly like how it is in the real sports world. You know, we might be the fans, we might be upset about it, but at the end of the day, the managers are making the call. The team owners are making the call. So, what can go forward from here? Hopefully, the LCS summer season isn't cut out, because I have no idea what that would mean for Worlds. You know, how that would change the roster, because that's a couple of teams that would be in the series and has been in the series for a long time. You know, one or two teams dropping out or not being able to play, that's one thing. You know, you can adjust for that. But for an entire region that usually sends three teams, and it's one of the major regions, as much as I, you know, poke fun at the LCS for not being as good, they are still one of the top regions just because of the size. Just because of the size and, you know, the skill level. They're still better than a lot of other regions out there. So the fact that we're actually talking about them not being able to be at Worlds is something I never thought I'd have to do. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about TFT set 9, because I think it's going to be the most broken set ever. You know, I was reading it over yesterday when more leaks were coming out, and I thought, wait, they have that champion, and they have that champion, and they have this comp, and they have that comp. They're taking the comps of almost every other set, which was broken, and putting it all in one. So I'm very excited, and they got some new mechanics that I'm very interested in. But we will be right back right here on 93.5. This is the Stay Connected podcast. If you want to listen back to either this show or any other episode, you can on our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Stay Connected podcast. My name is Jared Eastman. This is 93.5. We are Fox Sports. If you're just joining now, we had a serious talk about the LCS situation. Players walking out over the basic cancellation of the NA Challengers League, which is the second tier development league for NA esports. By Riot. Riot is not happy. You know, they've had to push back the start of the what was going to be the summer split, and now they're even suggesting that they might cancel the whole summer split entirely if a deal can't be made, or if the players do not do what Riot wants. But we're going to actually talk about something different. Talking about TFT set 9, I think it is going to be one of the most busted sets, and one of, you know, a really interesting set overall. It's supposedly going live on servers June 14th. It's not too long, so I'm definitely going to be excited. I think it's actually in PBE right now, so people are definitely testing it. I'm excited to see what comps are, you know, busted, which ones need reworking, and which ones, you know, are still fun to play. Though, the new set mechanic is region portals. What this is changes the carousel completely. Again, if people remember from months back when set 8 started, I said they had changed the way carousel works to where items pop off, and now there could be items in the carousel, like actual anvils. And that's still the case, and I think it was a really good change. You know, it made the game feel a little fresh, and it's able to really actually bring you from 0 to 100. You know, the amount of times I've gotten a core completed item from the carousel for free, I'll take it. It helped my comps, and sometimes it even made me win. But let's go over set 9. What's changing? These are going to be called region portals. At the start of each game, three different portals will appear on the carousel. Player in the lobby can then vote by moving to one of the portals, which can drastically change how the game is played. The portal chosen will be randomly picked from the votes, meaning that even if you have a majority, that's not the guarantee, you know. Let's say there's 10 players, and three of them, actually, why am I making this self hard for myself? Four go to the purple portal, four go to the blue portal, two go to the gold portal. Even though the percent chance is still higher for those other two with four players on them, there's still that, you know, 33 or whatever percent chance, or that 20% chance that the gold portal will still get picked. And I like that a lot. You know, that makes the game feel fun. It really gives players the choice of how this game is going to be played. Now, what do these portals do? Well, overall, there is a portal for each region of League, which we've never really talked about on the podcast before, the actual lore of League of Legends. That might have to be an episode, but that would be a long, long episode. I think if we were to cover just the basics of the League of Legends world, which I don't think we'll really realistically do because we're not a lore channel. We're we're an esports show. but if we were to cover just the basics of League lore, it would take 10 episodes. I could probably fill a year's worth of Stay Connected episodes for the League lore. But overall, there's Bandle City, Freljord, Void, Shadow Isles, Shurima, Ionia, Piltover, Noxus, Targon. So that makes 9 overall. And each portal has a unique change to the game. That is why I'm saying this is going to be the most wild season of League ever. It's in your hand how your game is played, and you may never have the same game twice. You know, you might pick Bandle City 2 games in a row, but hey man, that's a player's choice. You know, you might want Bandle City twice, but let's say the majority want Freljord. You're going to the Freljord, there's that chance. All right. I'm going to actually have to save this, what these players do, because I'm looking at the time. I'm pushing it. So we're going to save this for next episode, though I will talk about some things that excite me. First of all is the, Return of the Void. You know, we had Void this season, and we had Void last season, but it wasn't called Void this season. It was called Threat, and I don't think it was as good as when Void was in the game, because Void was one of those absolutely busted compositions. It was one that changed every game. I'm hoping they keep it like this this round run around, but some of the champions that are in there, first of all, already Cho'Gath. Cho'Gath was one of the most busted champions of their set. He would eat people and become a massive monster that was absolutely unkillable. And I feel like they're gonna keep it the same this time. You also have returning favorites like Warwick. Warwick has been a monster before, and he was a monster earlier on in the set with his healing. You know, it wasn't really as good this run around compared to his last time in the set, which I believe was set 7 or 6. I want to say 7. Also returning is Teemo. Little Teemo. You know, he was his set, which was set 7 of Yordle comp. I wouldn't say it was broken, but it was fun to play. It was so fun to play because it was just so out of pocket. And I never actually got 3-star Little Devil Teemo, or even 2-star, because I just never wanted to deal with that risk, because Little Devil Teemo would eat away at your health every time you put him in, I believe. Or maybe it wasn't every time you put him in. Maybe it was just the first time you put a Teemo in. So the fact that they're bringing him back, I'm curious to see what they're going to do about him and how they're going to change his mechanic. I know they're also, you know, keeping a lot of the other augments from this season, as well as adding some in. Naturally, that's going to be the case. I know they're actually bringing back some of the older champions, like Azir. Azir was a fun one, too. He made sand soldiers. Though they're adding new champions that have recently been created, like Action and Cassante. So I'm very curious to see how those champions are going to be brought in. You know, the theme of this is obviously all of the regions of League. So it's going to be a wild set. They're going to have quality of life issues that I feel like League really needed. Or at least TFT needed. I've already looked at some of the comps. I think Noxus is going to be a broken one. I feel like Demacia is going to be a fun one. You know, they have their obvious frontline compositions. You could see it as almost as clear as day. Demacia is definitely going to be one of my favorite to run. I'll tell you why next episode on the Stay Connected podcast, where we will do a full cover of TFT Set 9 right before it's released. So, thank you for listening. This is the Stay Connected podcast on 93.5. My name is Jared Eastman. If you want to listen back to any other episodes, you can on our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com or live Sunday 10:30 to 11 a.m. I'll see you all next Sunday.